Very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tee Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. We want to thank God for taking us away and bringing us back safely, and it's so nice to see many of you again in church this morning. As COVID restrictions continue to ease off, we are hoping that we will have a full house again. But in the meantime, we will continue to worship the way we've been doing in the past and until we have further notice of any changes here in our own parish and congregation. This morning, two of our elders, Catherine and Diane, are representing our congregation at the Episcopal Church for an ecumenical service that has been organized. So we will remember them in our prayers as they represent us in that service. Sisters and brothers in the Lord, our call to worship this morning is Psalm 113, verses 1 to 8. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. Let us worship God and our first hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let us pray. As we gather to worship this morning, let us delight in the works of the Lord and sing and shout our praises for all the things God has done for us. Because God is gracious and merciful and always keeps his promises. We will give thanks to the Lord with our whole hearts as a community here in Newport-on-Tay. God's words are great and we want to study them carefully, delighting in every detail. They are full of honor and majesty. And God's righteousness endures forever. The Lord is known by wonderful deeds, gracious and merciful, and he provides for us and keeps his promises. We gather this morning as a people of faith, as we walk with Christ. We come with our different burdens and secret sorrows. And as we come, we bring them to the Lord. The one who says we should cast our burdens upon him because he cares for us. So we pray that this morning God's Holy Spirit will descend upon us, will lead us and will guide us, will grant us the peace which passes all understanding. And even as we come, we bring our sins and confess them before God. Father God, you are wise, and sometimes we are foolish. Instead of listening to you, we try to solve our own problems and make our own paths. Jesus, you are the bread of life, and generously give all that we need, but sometimes we try to provide for ourselves or forget to share your generosity with others. Spirit of God, you are faithful and we are fallible, forgetting to trust in your promises. God, gather us back to yourself. Set our feet back on your paths once more. And let us walk in your footsteps as we go out into the week ahead. We pray through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 550, as the deer pants for the water.
Our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. Luke 7, verse 36 to 50. Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven, little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Our second reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 10 to 16. Ezekiel 33, 10 to 16. "Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? Therefore, son of man, say to your people, if someone who is righteous disobeys, that person's former righteousness will count for nothing. And if someone who is wicked repents, that person's former wickedness will not bring condemnation. The righteous person who sins will not be allowed to live, even though they were formerly righteous. If I tell a righteous person that they will surely live, but then they trust in their righteousness and do evil, none of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. They will die for the evil they have done. And if I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, but they then turn away from their sin and do what is just and right, if they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen, follow the decrees that give life and do no evil, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the sins that person has committed will be remembered against them. They have done what is just and right. They will surely live." Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is, "Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord of wisdom, we sometimes find understanding the Bible to be difficult. We know you want us to apply your word to our lives. We thank you for giving us your word so we can grow in our relationship with you. Help us to grasp what you want us to know as we read your revealed word. Open our eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Be our teacher so we can live and obey your word. Thank you for your wise advice. Amen. How then shall we live? Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone wants to know what they are living for. And every one of us wants to live a happy life without any stress or worries. Interestingly, when pursuing happiness, not many people remember what the brevity of life is all about. That is, you can be here today and gone tomorrow. Think of the words of the psalmist at Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, life does not last forever, and as such, people should use their days wisely and thus gaining a heart of wisdom. Again, Hebrews 9:27, people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Everyone is going to die at some point and then face judgment. Therefore, life should be lived with eternity in mind. Or again, Psalm 103:15-16, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. So we are told our lives bloom like beautiful flowers in a field, and within seconds a gust of wind blows it away, and it is gone. Life is beautiful, but it does not last forever in this world. Now, if this is how brief and transient life is, and that after we die we face judgment from God, how then can we live? In Ezekiel 33:6-16, the prophet provides an answer to that question from the wisdom and revelation of God. At the center of his answer is the problem of sin, which according to him is not helpful at all for a good life. As the text suggests, sin, disobedience, and our offenses are detrimental to us because they weigh us down, and as a result, our lives are wasting away. But what does the prophet mean when he says our sins weigh us down? To answer that question, we need to apply that basic principle of biblical interpretation, which suggests that Scripture interprets Scripture. And here we look to the passage in Hebrews 12:1, which says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Sin slows down our race to finish and gain the crown of glory that God has destined for us. And you know that sin is missing the mark of perfection that God requires for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. What we learn from our passage is that God is not pleased to see those he has created in his own image, wasting away or perishing. In fact, at verse 11, he says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Why will you die? So sin causes death. When we sin, we waste the way towards death. Sin affects all of us, both when we sin and when others sin. When we go away from the Lord, we are unable to connect with other people. We are unable to love them and to accept love from them. And this is how relationships get destroyed. And sin is about breaking vertical and horizontal relationships with God and man, respectively. When those relationships are broken, we realize the emptiness of life, because we need God and we need people to be happy. If we have broken relationships, then our lives would be wasting away. And because of our evil activities, God says through the prophet, we shall die and perish. So how can we live? There are 2 points, and the first is consistency, or not being self-contradictory. One who is consistent acts or does things in the same way over time, especially so as to be fair or accurate. Thus, the prophet Ezekiel says at verse 12b, the righteousness of the righteous man will not save him when he disobeys. Dear friend, have you been doing good? Have you been serving God faithfully and caring for the less privileged of society and doing righteous acts? Then never give up the good work, because if you do, then your former acts of goodness or righteousness would come to naught. The way to live and live happily in this world is to continue in your good works. You have to keep speaking the right words. You have to keep thinking the right thoughts. You have to keep believing in Jesus Christ, and you have to keep acting right. It is not enough to speak the right things for a day or two or for a season when it is convenient only. A good and fruitful life is a product of consistency in good deeds. And the second way to live, or the second answer to the question on how we can live, goes to the unrighteous. According to God's laws, those who are wicked and unrighteous are going to perish. But God says if they change their ways and repent from their sins, they will live. If I say to the wicked man, you will surely die, but he then turns away from his sin and does what is just and right, if he gives back what he took in pledge for a loan, returns what he has stolen, follows the decrees that give life, and does no evil, he will surely live. He has done what is just and right. He will surely live. I recently learned about 4 scholars who were arguing over Bible translations. One of them said he preferred the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third man preferred Moffat because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. After giving the issue further thought, the 4th scholar admitted, I have personally preferred my mother's translation. When the other scholars chuckled, he responded, yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation I ever saw. We need the Word of God to stay focused and good and consistent in doing what is right and pleasing in the sight of God. And a life that would be lived in goodness and in consistency is one that draws inspiration from and lean on the Word of God for everything that it does and accomplishes. As John Wesley helpfully puts it, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to be consistent in doing what is good and pleasing in your sight, and that is helpful for humanity. Help us to repent of our sins and do only that which honors your most holy name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We will have our next hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and after that there will be a small video to give you an idea of how my trip to Cameroon went. What a Friend We Have in Jesus, hymn 547.
No! shall meet you in the morning.
In the morning.
Meet you in the morning. How do you do?
Do you?
How do you do?
Sit will
sit down by the river.
By the
sit
river.
Sit down by the river.
And
rapture
of the blood.
Rapture.
His plan
is renewed.
You will know me
in the morning.
In the morning.
Know me in the morning. Smile that I wave.
That I
smile
wave.
That I wave.
When I
meet you in the morning.
In the
meet
morning.
You in the morning.
In the
city. City beautiful square.
I'm sorry I could not explain each picture, but you could make meaning out of some of them. You saw the roots, the terrible roots with mud. That's the road we passed to go to my home village where my father was buried, or where we were born and raised. The roads are terrible. Sometimes you take 2 days, so you need a four-wheel drive car to be able to go through. There were two services, one in the city of Bamenda, which is the regional capital of the northwest region of Cameroon, one of the two Anglophone regions. That's where we come from. And the service there was officiated at by the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. We had almost 2,000 people came out for that service. And in the village, we had almost 2,000 people too. So there were about 4,000 people who came out to the two services for the funeral of our late father. We believe very much that he is resting with the Lord. It was also an opportunity for us to meet. I had not seen some of my siblings for 10 years. So you can imagine that. So it was another opportunity for family reunion. I want to thank you all for your many prayers and blessings while Florence and myself were away. I think God really listened to them. We were safe. People thought that we would be kidnapped, because that's what usually happens, especially if you come from abroad and go down to the village. But we were kind of invisible in the eyes of those separatist fighters. And we will continue to thank God for his many blessings upon our lives. Shall we now rise, if you are able, and affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering on ourselves, and let us thank God. As we bring our offerings to you, O God, we give back to you from the abundant blessings you have given us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength be unto you, our God, forever and ever. Father God, be with our children and young people as they start and return to school in the coming week. help them to learn and grow and flourish. We pray for the children and families who are feeling anxious about the new term, knowing that school isn't always an easy place to be. We pray for the pupils and teachers at Newport Primary School. Be their strength as they struggle to cope with children coming from many different backgrounds and families and with different gifts and temperaments. Bless the children who are looking forward to a new beginning in high school and grant them patience and wisdom in their learning. Be with the people getting ready for the 26th United Nations Climate Change Conference in just a few months' time in Glasgow. As reports are prepared and arrangements made, give us bold ambition to make the changes we know are necessary to protect the world you have created. Let us not lose sight of the need for justice and accountability in decision making. We pray for those who are already suffering the effects of climate change in devastating ways, for those who have lost property and their loved ones and even their lives in Athens and parts of the USA, for those affected by the earthquake in Haiti. Father, comfort the bereaved, heal the wounded, and rescue the dying. Faithful God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you give us life and you take life again away from us so that we can be with you. We thank you again for the life of Mr. Wachong Daniel Chie, for all that he was to us in this world and for calling him to be with you. Thank you for all those who traveled to Womb for his funeral. Thank you for taking them back safely to their different places. May your light continue to shine in the dark places of our lives, and may your perpetual light continue to shine on those who have left this world and are now with you. Gracious Father, be in and with our church as we grapple with the need for change and the reality of a future that is going to be very different from our past. Help us to recognize you at work already in our community and to be listening for your whispers of new possibilities and ways of living out our faith. This and many more we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, 561. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.